Good morning again. I'm Kathy Kelsey. I am the Dean of the Chapel at Iowa School of Theology, which means I've been a colleague of Brad Lorvick for more than a decade, and I'm privileged to be with you here this morning to think together and to share a word. Now, we've got children in the congregation, and that's handy because we actually need every child in the place to be holding keys in their hands. We'll get to this in the middle of the sermon. So we need keys in the hand of every child. If they weren't here, I'd make the adults do it. So they're being real helpers. They're keeping you all from being embarrassed. Right. One of the things that I do at ILIF is I teach prayer practices. And I'm able to do that because I've spent almost 35 years now seriously engaging in contemplative prayer practices. So when I got a phone call earlier this week from Brad asking if I would step in for Paul Kotke, our district superintendent this morning, I thought to myself, okay, what do I know that's really wonderful that I can share out of that body of wisdom in 35 years? And what came to me really quickly was a very simple idea. That the very best things, the deepest things in our spiritual lives come to us as free gifts. We just don't always notice them. Free gifts. We're going to come around back to that when we get to Amazing Grace at the end. Not there yet. Not there yet. Don't want to panic at the end. There are three gifts that the contemplative tradition lifts up for us. The first is the gift of letting go. The second is the gift of illumination. And the third is the gift of union. What I'd like to do this morning is talk with you about the first two, or maybe just the first one. We'll see how our timing goes and how our patience goes. The classic story in the New Testament of letting go is a story that Mark tells in the 10th chapter of the Gospel. It's a story of Jesus teaching, probably not under a tent, probably out in the hot sunshine. And while he's teaching, a young man comes up to him and says, "Teacher, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life?" And there's this conversation that happens back and forth between Jesus and this young man. Jesus says, "Well, what are you already doing?" He gives him an easy question to start with. "What are you already doing? What does the law teach you?" And the young man reels them off. He reels off the Ten Commandments. And Jesus says, "Wonderful! You get an A on the first question. So here's the second question. What more?" The young man asks that question. What more? And then Jesus, there are my favorite words in the whole New Testament, six words. Jesus, looking at him, loved him. Jesus, looking at him, loved him. Just like he was. Just exactly like he was. I live for those moments when I notice how much Jesus loves me. When I notice how much God loves me. But that love comes with an invitation, and sometimes the invitation is hard. The next words out of Jesus' mouth were, go. Sell all that you have. Give the money to the poor. And come, follow me. Oh, ouch. I liked the being loved part better. Let go of what is holding you. Let go of what you are hanging on to for dear life. And come follow me. This is where we need the key. Consider the key. If you hold your keys in your hand and you hold them the very most comfortable way you can, everybody who's got keys needs to be holding them in their hand like I'm holding them, okay? See how I'm holding them? Got them firmly in my fist right out in front of me, right? If I hold what is valuable to me the most comfortable way I can hold it, I can hold on to it for forever. You feel that? I mean, when you're holding your keys this way, you can hang on to them for a very long time. And when Jesus says something like, let go, oops, it feels like I've lost everything to let go. But what happens if I take those same keys in my hand and I turn my wrist? Turn my wrist. Then, when Jesus asks me to let go, I haven't lost anything, but there's space for something else. Something else that is precious to come alongside what I have been hanging on to. I think it's that kind of letting go that Jesus invites us to day by day. Not the kind where we lose everything, but the kind where there's space for something else to show up. Now, keys are a wonderful symbol of all of the stuff. I mean, they're at least a good symbol of all of my stuff. My home's there, my car's there, my work keys are there, pretty much my whole life symbolized in those keys. If I don't grasp them so tightly, they're safe. But those keys could also be symbols of smaller things in our day. Those keys, what I'm grasping might be my anger at the guy who just cut me off on the freeway. It might be my frustration and not wanting to listen anymore to the stuff about the political races going on. There are a lot of things that those keys might represent. Things that are I'm grasping or that have me by the neck. So the first invitation in the contemplative life is to recognize that it comes as a gift when we are able to open our hands and not grasp so tightly. The contemplative tradition doesn't say, this is what you should do. It says, notice what God does for you. Notice that there's a moment in which you can let go of that anger and something else becomes possible. Notice that there's a moment of possibility. You're not required to receive it, but it's being offered like an open hand. That's the first of two contemplative moments that the contemplative tradition understands as free gifts from God. The second one is associated with it. It doesn't come automatically, but it comes often. And that second gift is illumination. So there's letting go, and then there's illumination. Seeing differently. Seeing differently for a moment. Let me tell you a personal story so you get a sense of what I mean. In May of 2004, my husband and I were traveling in Berlin. And we'd been there for about a week, and late in the week, I was walking through Französische Platz, the French Plaza. And we had been through there multiple times before. In fact, I remember the moment so clearly. I was looking west across the plaza, and I was just kind of gazing at the cafe that we'd eaten at several nights before. And I was just noticing the people walking around, and they're all talking German, right? Germany. And I have German, but I don't have German that's good for eavesdropping. So they were basically unknown people to me. And I'm just noticing that, and this thought came to me. Kathy, see all those people? I know them, each one of them, as well as I know you. And I love each one of them as much as I love you. I'm sure that I knew that before. I'm sure that if you had asked my head that question, does God love everybody, I would have said, sure, of course God does. But that moment of illumination brought that home, not just to my head, but to my heart. And as you can tell, 12 years later, I'm telling you this story, and I'm actually there in the flock in Berlin. It just is a crystal moment in my memory. A moment of illumination. And there have been multiple times in my life, like when I'm angry at the guy that cut me off in the freeway, multiple moments when the memory of that illumination helps me make a choice about how I'll act in this moment. Both the original illumination and the fact that it can come back to us in moments when we need it as a memory, both of those are free gifts from God. And if you pause to think about it, if you notice over the next 24 hours, you will notice that both of those gifts are likely to come to you at least once in the 24 hours. The opportunity to let go of what grasps you, and the opportunity to see differently. In the contemplative understanding, there's a third moment called union, and we'll come back to that another day. My invitation to you today is, in the next 24 hours, simply notice when the gifts are being given to you. Just notice. And if you do, give thanks. It is an amazing grace, not just an amazing grace at the end of our lives, but an amazing grace that comes to us in letting go, in illumination, every single day. Let's sing about that grace. Now, Dan, we're ready.